Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. With us is Congressman Kevin Hern. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well, Tom, and yourself?
Well, I couldn't be better. I understand you've been working really hard with dollars and cents to propose perhaps a budget that makes a little bit more of our dollars with some sense.
Yeah, Tom, I was asked back in early December if I would be the Republican Study Committee budget chair, which the Republican Study Committee is really the group that makes the policies for the Republican Party. About 160 members of the 210 or so that are in Congress, so, you know, a very large part, about 75%. And it was a real honor to do because it's something that's really near and dear to my heart. I spent my first 2 years in Congress on the Budget Committee, so I've seen how ineffective the actual committee that's supposed to be doing the work for the American people is. And I've spoken about it a lot during my campaign here in Congress. And so I'm one that I just don't like to be talking about stuff and not doing anything. So I spent about 5 months working on this RSC budget. And, you know, I worked on it because I think when I see budgets, you know, President Trump's budget was 15 years balancing, which nothing, you know, nobody can remember 15 years here. Nobody's accountable to anyone. 10 years is typically what all budget windows look like. So we wanted to work on something that we could make, you know, less impactful cuts today as compared to, you know, 5 or 10 years from now if we do it now. And we were able to work on things, look at the politics behind the policies, and actually get it to a five-year balance. And that means that we're not spending more on an annual basis than we were taking in. And so you got to get to that point. It's no different than your personal checkbook. Before you can start paying your debts, you got to quit adding to the debt. And that's what the deficits do every single year. So worked hard on that. And what's really sad about all of this is for the last three budget cycles now, Speaker Pelosi has been in charge. The Democrats have been in charge of the House where the budget originates. And they've not produced a single budget for the American people. And that's sad because that's one of the primary things you're supposed to do is take care of the taxpayer dollars. So therefore, if you don't create a budget, you're never accountable to it. And so we're really excited to be getting our budget out there.
You know, you tell some of your friends that we don't have a budget. And they say, well, yes, we do. And you tell them this thing about a continuing resolution, I guess is what it's called. And
right.
They say, well, how does that work? And you have to say, well, search me.
Well, basically what it says is that you're spending money at the same levels that you spent the previous budget cycle. So it would be no different than the American people, you, me, or whatever, and we're do our budget for 2020, and because we get a little lazier, don't want to be accountable to it, we just say, well, we're not going to do one for 2021. We'll just use the budget for 2020. Well, the problem is, in our case now, we haven't seen a budget since the Republicans were in charge of the House in 2018.
Wow.
So, you know, theoretically, we're still kind of running on the Republicans' budget, with the exception of, as the Democrats went in and added a bunch of debt here recently that's really driving this inflation that you're seeing. And now we're at $28 trillion in debt. And some have asked me, so, well, Congressman, why aren't we seeing, where's all this debt increase? And I said, well, that's because we actually haven't spent the money yet. So we approved $900 billion. The compromise with the President Trump was $900 billion in December that got out there. And then we told President Biden when he wanted the $1.9 trillion in February that we didn't need it. We still had $1.2 trillion with a T in February that had not been spent, had not been sent out to the American people. We added another $1.9 trillion. And now the president's wanting to spend $6 trillion more and plus do another stimulus somewhere around $2.5 trillion later this year. So we're going to be, by this time next year, we're going to be somewhere around $35 to $36 trillion. And it's insane. We've got to stop. The inflation that's growing right now is growing at about 6.2% as of the last 2 months. And that is a tax on everybody, an indiscriminate tax. It doesn't matter how much you make. Everybody's going to be paying more, so it's taking more money that you earn to pay for the same thing you paid for yesterday. So it is a hidden tax, and it doesn't care whether you're Republican or Democrat or don't give two hoots about politics, whether you make, you know, $1 or $1,000 or $100,000, you're going to pay more. And so that's breaking the president's promise right there. So we've got to get our spending under control. It's the biggest problem we have in America.
You brought up something called the Help Wanted Act. You introduced it. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, everywhere I've gone across the district, across the state, and quite frankly, folks that have come in my office and had phone calls with me from across the country are pleading for Congress to stop paying people more to stay home. Congress, not the states. The states have their own unemployment system, but for Congress to quit paying people more to stay at home than to go back to work. Businesses are wanting to return to pre-pandemic levels and to get back and start paying their bills, you know, trying to build back their bank accounts, build back their net worth, get their feet on the ground, but they can't get people to come to work. I talked to restaurants just this past weekend that want to go back to 24 hours, but they can't get people. And so the current extra $400 or $300 a week ends on September 6th. So introduce this bill, Help Wanted Act, to stop it now because jobs are everywhere. There are 10 million jobs in America right now, and there's 7.5 million people looking, so that are available. And so the question is why aren't they going to work? There are plenty of jobs out there, so we've got to get this done. This bill gets signed into law. The $300 extra per week would end 14 days after.
I hope it does get some traction on your end. Vice President Harris, this border crisis has been assigned to her. What are your thoughts on how she has taken on this responsibility?
Well, it's really pretty sad for the American people. I don't know her personally, but I really knew about her. I really thought she'd be a better vice president than she is. She's been a terrible example as a vice president. You know, when she made the comment to Lester Holt last week that why should I go to the border, I don't know. You know, I think when you're solving problems, you got to see the problems so you know exactly what to do. You got to talk to the people. She's not been there. She's been the, quote, border czar for, you know, going on 90-something days now. And, you know, she made a joke that she hadn't been to Europe either. So, why don't get your point? And I was really proud of the tough question that she got. But here's the problem at the southern border. I've been there twice, so I've been there, you know, more than what she has. And I've seen it up and down the border, what the problem is. And you have police officers, you have, you know, everybody working together. The state of Texas is spending billions of dollars defending their southern border. I just signed on to a bill today with a group of Texans to allow them to build their own border wall to secure the border. We've got to do something. We have enough fentanyl that it's been seized so far this year since January. Enough fentanyl to kill every American. Every single American. That fentanyl's been taken. That's what's been taken. There's obviously lots of fentanyl. We have not seized 100% that's come through. And it's so easy to carry because it comes in small dosages. We're seeing this crisis of 170,000 to 180,000 people come across the border. We're on track right now for fiscal year 21, which started October 1, going through end of September. We're on the track to see somewhere around 2 million illegal immigrants cross the southern border. Now, here's the issue. These aren't Mexicans, because if Mexicans come across illegal and get seized, they get taken straight back. That's our agreement we have with Mexico. These are people coming out of Central America. They're coming out of the Middle East because it's so porous. And when Vice President Kamala Harris says she's going to Guatemala to try to solve the problem, the problem is at the southern border, because the coyotes, the cartels are making literally tens of millions of dollars bringing people across the southern border. And so until we secure the southern border, stop the incentive for people to be able to cross like we saw under President Trump, then we're not going to see a return to normalcy at the southern border.
Well, the president just got back from Europe, and I understand that he had a little word with President Putin. He gave him a list. He said, here are 16 things we don't want you messing with as far as cyber attacks, which would tend to make a person say, well, the rest, I guess, are fair game.
I've got a lot of things I think about when I see those two sitting together. If you look at the posture, you know, Putin was kind of, lackadaisical about the relations, you know, about the interactions. And you just know that he has been laughing at us at seeing some of the gaps that President Biden made at the G7 summit. Some of the things he said, he misspoke, he forgot. you know, Putin, you know, the issue we have with places like China and Russia is these leaders are around for as long as they want to. I mean, that's how, you know, corrupt these communist countries are. They're general secretaries of the Russian, you know, Communist Party and the general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. They call themselves president to fit into the free world. But they're looking at us and saying, you know, I'll just wait you out, or you're an imbecile, meaning, you know, the leaders of our country. And one of the things, you know, the discussions we've had is, you know, people have been very critical of Trump's foreign policy. But I assure you, between President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo, foreign adversaries, foreign leaders, they respected us, if nothing else, because they feared us. And, you know, President Biden talking about building this coalition, you know, you have to follow the money. And a lot of things are going on right now with, you know, the conversation about taxes. You know, they're going to start pushing our multinationals to start leaving our country again. It's this appeasement, you know, that President Obama started by giving, you know, Iran hundreds of millions of dollars to appease them. It just does not work. That's why you don't see Israel doing that. Which, by the way, we need to spend more time supporting them as well.
Last words to you. What you got to say to everybody back home?
Well, don't give up on this country. This country is still the greatest nation in the world. You know, we may look divided from time to time, but, you know, I have faith in the good Lord that we will figure out ways to move this country forward. The Republican Party is working hard to get back in control. I've never been in the majority, so I don't know what that's like, but I'll be equally critical of the Republican Party if we don't take the lead and correct some of this this craziness that's going on. We need to do everything we can to be great patriots in this country, continue to support our country and the freedoms we have, and I look forward to continuing to be your representative for the 1st District of Oklahoma, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you and all the Barsons. And again, if there's anything we can do, please reach out to our office. We'd love to help, but we have some great caseworkers. If there's anything, anybody's coming to Washington, D.C., now that we're kind of opening back up, we'd love to help you get to see the nation's capital. So, Tom, thanks again for allowing us to speak for a few minutes.